Hebrews chapter 1. Book of Hebrews chapter 1. The ministry of angels. Verse 1, chapter 1 of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of his gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Now we read about the angels there in that scripture, and we see Jesus exalted in the first four verses up to the highest position. He is at the right hand of his majesty. I don't know if you pray like that. Sometimes, though, I tell the Lord, Lord, I hope your majesty will be pleased to bless me today and give me the compassion that I need to be a blessing to somebody else. So I pray to his majesty sometimes. Maybe you don't do that. That's up to you and between you and the Lord. Now we think about angels and I see in Psalm 35, I'm going to give you two or three things here just to think about. In Psalm 35, David is praying about his enemies. And in verse 4, he said, Let them be confounded that put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Verse 5, he said, Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. And then he said in verse 6, Let their way be dark and slippery, let the angel of the Lord persecute them. David was after his enemies. I mean, he said, Let's let the angels of God handle it. Now I went to the scripture and I find angels mentioned 60 times in the book of the Revelation. And the angels are very important. And then I find the mention, I counted this up a little bit, in Numbers 11 times, in Judges 18 times, in Zechariah 19 times, in Mark 15 times, in Luke 15 times, in the book of Acts 11 times, and in Hebrews 12 times. And so we have, in the other books, a lot of other books have angels in them. Well, here's a verse here in Psalm 68 and verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. And another verse is this in Hebrews 13, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So we may be doing something for an angel. You don't know, and I don't know sometimes, but don't be forgetful in entertaining strangers, because you may be entertaining an angel.
Amen.
Let me move on now. Let me ask a question or two. What do angels look like? Do they have a body? Do they have names? Do they fly? Have you ever seen one? And have you ever been helped by one? And do they have supreme power? Do angels have supreme power? And then you have a lot of things. The Bible said angels, in the last verse we read there, Bible said, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Who's that? That's us. Angels are ministering spirits sent to be ministers to those of us who are the heirs of salvation. And we'll move along here pretty quickly and see what we learned out about angels.
Yes,
I find that the Bible tells us in chapter 1, it says in verse 7, did he say to the angel, come and, well, let's say, wait a minute, let me say, in chapter 1, verse 7, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. So there are angels, a minister spirit, and a flame of fire. And then, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand? He didn't say that to any angel. He didn't say that at all to any angel. But back up a little bit and look at verse 4 and 5 there. And it tells us that Jesus is better than angels in verse 4. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then in verse 5, which the angel said he at any time, this is the verse I was looking for a minute ago, at any times, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He didn't say that to any angel. Thou art my son. He didn't say that to any angel, but he said that about Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. But now we move along a little bit here, and we see in verse 14 of Scripture here, the Bible said they are, I'm going back to this verse again, they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who should be the heirs of salvation. Now, along with that, I want to say this. Every one of us has an angel. Every one of us has a guardian angel. No matter who you are, where you go, or whatever, everybody that's saved has a guardian angel. And we get that from the Word of God. The Bible said in the Psalm, in Psalm 34, in verse 7 now, it said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So God camps out. I mean, the angel of God camps out. Wherever you are, God sends an angel. He's there all the time, whether you realize it or not. He's sitting right beside you. If you don't squeeze him too hard, he might holler if you do. But he's here, and he's right where you are this morning. The angel of the Lord encampeth. Now, how many have been camping in your life? Yeah, everybody has. You know what it is to camp out. You're going, get everything set up. Well, the angel of the Lord there right beside you to kind of guide you and help you and see you don't get too much trouble, different things like that. But the angel of the Lord in camp sets up camp right where you are. So everybody has an angel. And then in Psalm 91, the Bible said in verse 10, there shall be no evil befall thee. Now that's one of the things angels do. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He gives an angel charge to keep you in all your ways. Wherever you go, whatever you do, the angel will be there. See that you don't get in big trouble. And then it said, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Now we'll learn something there. Angels have hands. You know that? They do. They shall bear thee up in their hand. Now, I don't know what the hands look like, but they got hands. And then we find out that angels have bodies. Sometimes angels have bodies. Now, the Bible said they're ministering spirits. They are that. But say they guard us. They are that. And they watch over us. And then they have bodies. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 21, the Bible said that, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, notice that, man Gabriel, he has a body and has a name. This is the angel. Now he has a body and has a name. Said the man, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. So according to that, angels fly. Gabriel was fast at it. I mean, he had fast wings. I see birds sometimes like this, the big old eagle or something, he goes like this. And then sometimes a hummingbird, he goes like this, you know, real fast. He go like this, and back up like that, up like this, down like that. And then a dove, he's something like this, you know. The angel, anyway, Gabriel could fly fast. Now, I don't know how fast, but I'll tell you what, if you need him, he'll be there in a second because God sent him. Now, let me move on a little. Verse 22 of Daniel chapter 9 said, he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. So he's sent to teach Daniel the thing God wanted to know. God will send help for you if you need him. He'll send help. Now notice also in Jude chapter 9, and that's just one chapter, you know, verse 9, said that he disputed about the body of Moses. And so that's Michael in Jude chapter 1, verse 9. That's Michael. He has a name. So Gabriel and Michael are the archangels. And then in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, I'm going to turn over there and read a little bit of that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, we see Gabriel here. And see, verse 26 it is, in Luke 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in at her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So God uses angels sometimes to bring messages. Move on a little bit, verse 9. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And moves on down a little bit and gives her the complete thing that God wanted her to know. Now that's Gabriel there. So Gabriel and Michael are the two archangels. They're just two. God uses them on special occasions. And so you need to get acquainted with that angel that looks after you and takes care of you. Find out a little bit more about him. Do that by reading about these angels in the Word of God. Now let me move on a little bit here and say this. We learn that angels are ministering spirits, minister to us. They have bodies, they have names, they have hands. And then angels have supreme power. They do. In Acts chapter 12, verse 7, Peter is in prison. And then the Bible said, behold, the angel of the Lord. Now, a lot of times we miss those things. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hand. The angel had a torch with him, and he just cut those chains off real quick. No, that's not what it said. It said that the angel, the chains just fell off. They just fell off. You'd say, "Well, how'd they do that?" Well, I don't know how they did that. If I was that smart, I'd be God, but I'm not God. I'm not smart enough to figure out stuff like that. You're not either. If you know how, tell me after the service. But anyway, the angel said, "Get up, Peter. Get up. Rise up quickly. Rise up quickly." And then it said, the angel said, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals," and he did so. That's Acts 12, verse 8. "And said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Now this angel must have some kind of body. He said, "Follow me." He got to be something there for Peter to know which way to go. So he's following this angel, and he's leading him right on out the right way. And they won't lead you the wrong way. God sent this angel down there. You see, when God sends them, they know what to do and how to do it. And so then the Bible said in verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel." Yeah, sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod from him, expectation of the people of the Jews. Now, so this angel has supreme power. He just tells the chains to fall off and they come off. Then in 2 Kings chapter 19, I read where one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel did that. God sent him down to do a job, so he does it well. He killed 185 Assyrians. Bible said it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went, smote in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they rose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Then in 2 Chronicles 21, verse 15, it said the angel, God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. He said, "You go down there and kill everybody in Jerusalem." Now, God told him to do that. And he's going to do what God said. And so he's busy doing what God said. And he's mowing them down, and just everywhere he comes to, you know, just whoever he comes to, kill them, start on one side of town, go through, kill everybody. That's what God said to do. Go down and destroy. And then in verse 15 and 16, 1 Chronicles 21, that's where we were. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy. And as he was destroying it, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, "It is enough. Stop right there. Don't kill another person. You're doing what I told you to, but I've changed my mind." Now God repented. Well, a preacher asked me why my pastor's a pretty good-sized church, and I never did answer him. He said, What does it mean when it said God repented? I said, and I didn't tell him. I figured his judgment would be good as mine was. So I didn't, somebody told me one time that it'd be better to be silent and be thought a fool than speak up and remove all doubt. And so I thought, well, just let him think I'm a fool because I didn't say anything. Anyway, here's what it means. God can change his mind anytime he wants to. Anywhere wants to, about anything he wants to, any way he wants to do it, God can change his mind. And he changed his mind right there. The angel had already killed 70,000 people of Jerusalem. And God said, "Change my mind. Don't kill anybody. Stay the hand." Angels are obedient to God. God is their boss. And they're obedient to him. "And stay thine hand, the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan and Jebusite." And the Bible said, verse 16, David saw the angel. Ah, How about them apples? David saw the angel. So evidently, angels can be seen. They're not always seen. Brother Virgil Whaley, I was talking to him last night on the phone, and I've been there several times and preached in the church. And told me several years ago, I'm going back preaching next month and over there. Anyway, he said that one time he was hadn't been pastoring his church too long, Calvary Memorial Church, and he said he had his tools, his carpenter tools in the car, and had to go back by the church on his way home, and he just left the car running and went in the church for a minute and came back out, and the car was on fire. And he said he couldn't get the hood up, didn't know what to do, and he said a fella stopped in a pickup truck, had on a fireman's helmet, and reached in his truck and got some kind of tool and popped the hood and got a fire extinguisher out and put the fire out. Amen. Well, in the meantime, he'd gone back in the church and called the fire department, but before they got there, had the fire out. So they came with the siren going, you know, and all got out and run in. He said, "Duh, wait a minute." He said, "Don't need to go anywhere now. The car's not on fire. One of your men stopped by, put the fire out." And they said, "What did it look like?" "Well," said, "they had a helmet on," and said, "I figured one of y'all." "Oh," they said, "no, we don't have anybody here that looks like that." He said, "He's not one of ours." And they looked around. Nobody in sight like that. Have no idea where he went, where he came from. Amen. Would that an angel? Was that an angel? David saw the angel, it says. Did he? Yes. The Bible said he did. When the Bible said, you know, my favorite verses, "I rejoice that thy word is one that findeth great spoil." You find great spoil. And then you was talking about a while ago that psalm in Psalm 119 there. In another verse, it said, "The entrance thy word giveth light." I like that, don't you? "Entrance thy word giveth light." When the word goes in, the light comes on. That's what that means there. If the word don't go in, the light don't come on. So the entrance thy word giveth light. So, and next time you want some light, get in the book. You get all you need right there. Now, let's move on a little bit here. Got to finish this thing somewhere. Now, do angels fly? Well, I already told you about Gabriel and said he flew. But then it's talking about seraphim. Now, I don't know a lot about seraphim, but I think they must be some kind of angels. They, you know, in the tabernacle, they had cherubims, and I think they're some kind of angels. They had wings, you know. But anyway, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and his armies," that's armies, "is host," that's what it means, "and the whole earth is full of his glory. And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal, burning coal of fire, which he had taken from off the altar, laid it on my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Now, I don't think that's literal. I think that's symbolic. God wouldn't send an angel, take a live coal of fire out, lay it on somebody's lip, and burn the lip. Of course, this is symbolic, but God sent a message to Isaiah through that. Anyway, they bring messages. Now, I was noticing another thing or two here. There are several angels. Now, the Bible said that we have, let me get back here, said where did I see that a minute ago? In Psalm 68:17, I think I read this while the chariots of God are 20,000 and thousands of angels. Thousands of angels, all right? Now, get this. If every person that's born again has an angel encamping with them, camping out with them, and there's 6 billion people in the world. Does that sound right, astronomer? What about that? Does that sound pretty good? And you folks don't know, there's a great astronomer. I'm not talking junk. I'm telling you something. He knows something about this world and the stars and all that. And told me a whole lot about it when I was here. Anyway, we find that, if it's 6 billion people, how many is a billion? A million million? Is that a billion? Anybody? All right, theologians, mathematicians, what about? Anyway, let's just say that one half of 1 billion is saved. Let's just say that. You've got hundreds and thousands and millions of people. Millions of people at one time. Actually, billion people. Let's just say a fifth of them or a sixth of them are saved. That'd be 6 billion angels right there. Are you with me? Shake your head like this. Okay. Now, so anyway, the chariots of God are 20,000, thousands of angels. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said to him, verse 50, here's where that a man pulled out his sword and struck a servant, cut his ear off, and Jesus said, put up your sword. If I wanted to, I could call my father and he would send 12 legions of angels. That's 6,000. Yeah. If you got in trouble like that and you call God, he'd send you 6,000. Right? Is that right? He loves you. Don't think he wouldn't dispatch an angel if you got in trouble. He sure will. I'm glad he loves us. So then, there are a lot of angels. Now, where do they live? In Revelation 12, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Ah, really? I didn't know that. Did you know that? War in heaven? Yeah. There's war in heaven. And the Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon, that is Satan and his angels, fought. And verse 8 said they prevail not. And neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out and the earth and his angels were cast out with him. The devil has angels too. But Michael and his angels overcame the devil and his angels, and now the devil's on the earth. One of these days, he's going to be in the lake of fire. Amen. Book of Revelation, chapter 20. And God took that old serpent and cast him into the lake of fire. So the angels are in heaven, so to speak. There was war in heaven. Well, that's where the angels and Michael were. That's where the devil and his angels were. So they're in heaven. Now, what do they do? One thing, they praise the Lord. In Psalm 148, said, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his angels. So they just go along, I guess, like this. Say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that what they do? That's what it says. They praise God. I was preaching the dedication service to whatever county that is, over the other side of Salisbury. The church burnt down. They built a new one and asked to come preach the dedication service. And they had four young men that got saved that same week. Four teenage boys got saved that same week. Well, they won't do something for God, so So I said during the message, I said, now, if you just go by somebody and you just say, Jesus, they have to do something with that. Is that right? They have to do something with that. They can't act like it didn't. They can act like it didn't happen, but it did happen, didn't it? And so that week they went to school and they went down the hallway like this and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they meet somebody and they say, Jesus. So they came back next week and said, Pastor said, you know what? Said, Brother Moxley's idea works about Jesus. Said, we've been doing that at school. And God called one of them to preach.
Amen.
Preacher baptized all four of them that Sunday night, and God called one of them to preach.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great?
Amen.
So now we find that they praise God. Now, in Luke 15 and verse 10, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Yeah. Don't you know they got happy when you got saved and they looked around each other and said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody got saved down there at Fellowship Baptist Church. And last year they baptized so many. Boy, listen, we've been watching that. Don't they have a good time down there at Fellowship? Yeah. And they have a good time over in Victory Baptist Church, over at Brother Slough. I'm going to preach for him for too long. He said I could. And so if the preacher don't tell you you can, you can't, okay? So anyway, he said I could. Now, so anyway, they rejoiced over one sinner that repented. Paul was on a ship, and God had already informed him that he was going to Rome. So he knew it wasn't his time to die. But they got excited because the ship started breaking apart. And Paul said, just calm down now. Just calm down. Because he said, the angel of the Lord appeared to me tonight.
Yeah.
And said, he told me wasn't nobody going to get drowned in this. There was nobody going to die in this thing. And he said, just calm down now. It's all right. The angel of the Lord came to me tonight. So it must be that he's able to see that angel. And the angel talked to him. You ever had an angel talk to you? They might. Give him an opportunity. Now, and in Daniel 6, where the lion, you know, they put in the lion's den and said, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. Has shut the lion's mouth. Isn't that something? That lion said, rah! Angel said, shut your mouth. You ever see them when they're dealing with alligators, they slip up on him, grab him like that, and hold his jaw shut? That angel didn't have to do that. He just said, shut up. I like this. Just the last thing. I got to shut up so somebody else can preach for a little bit. Anyway, most important thing angels ever did, Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. Now, here's two Marys. And in the Hebrew text, that is Miriam. I looked at it. My wife's name was Mary Angeline, so her name would have been Miriam. Always in the Hebrew, it's translated Miriam. So here we find then that there are two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. That's good. I like the way that reads there. And it said that, behold, there's a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended. What did he do? I'm about to have a spell. I don't know about you, but I'm about to have a spell. I get excited when I get this. Thank God for this. I like to have a spell now and then, don't you? You might dry up if you don't. And the Lord, angel of the Lord, descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door.
Amen.
And sat on it. Boy, I like that. You know, if you, some of you have been to the Holy Land, you know, and they've got a door there, they call it, you know, where the tomb is. And then they got, you know what these old big millstones are that you used to have about that thick and about this big around and ground corn with them. And you know, you, oh, y'all don't know, you're too young. Anyway, I see it's a round stone and there's a trough out here beside of that opening, and they have that stone over there, and then they put somebody in the grave here, and they just take that, roll it in that trough right like this, and it's right over that, seals up that grave entrance. And that angel came down. God said, go down and roll that stone back, and that angel went down there like this. And the stone rolled over on the side, and then he sat down. Now I wonder why did God put that in the Bible? Why did God put that in there? Angel sitting on the stone. He's looking like this. Somebody's over there with a mouth like this. And that angel's sitting there to see what they do. You know, he wants to see what goes on. What kind of action does people take? And somebody else then. I really think God put that in there. I really think God put that in there just so that angel could sit down and have a ball. Yes. To see what people would do. Because the tomb is now empty. There's nobody in there anymore. Now, if you're African American or whatever, I'm gonna tell this: this is not meant to be racial by any standard. But somebody said the little black girl had a part in the play at Easter time, and she was supposed to say, "He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And she locked up about the time it was her time to say that. And she said, "He ain't here. He done left out." So I won't tell you. He ain't here. He done left out. But the fact is that we know where he is. He's seated. At the right hand. That's where God issues the orders from, the right hand. This one don't count when God giving orders. He says, "Hey, go get them." I think he's waiting for the time when the Father says, "Now it's time." And it could be today. I asked a fellow yesterday, I saw him at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, and I said, "You think Jesus would come today?" And he said, "No." He said, "He just works on Saturday and Sunday." He said, "Today's Monday." I don't know what prompted that. But anyway, he works every day. He said, I don't slumber and I don't sleep. God said that. God is never asleep. You can talk to him anytime you want to talk to him. You can talk to God anytime. So he said, he'll come when the Father says. That's the way they do it in Israel now. He cannot go get the bride till the Father approves it. Move on. And his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And the angel answered and said to the woman, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly. We don't have time to kill. Go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. That's the most important message that's ever been delivered anytime, anywhere, by any angel or by anybody else. He is not here. He is risen from the dead.